Hi and welcome to Traveling Inside Out. This is Alina, your host. Good morning, Andra. It's 9:09 in the morning.
Well, good morning to you. It's 4 p.m. and 9 minutes in Romania. So yet again, I'm from the future. I'm talking to you from the future.
Today's episode is going to be something all over the place, but there was something that happened very close to where I live. There was a murder discovered, and it's getting really horrible. But we're going to talk about that at the end of the episode. Before that, I wanted, because last time I kind of said, let's not do this, we don't have enough time and so on. So in order not to skip it anymore, we're going to start with our recommendations. And because we didn't recommend anything last month, we have two and two recommendations. I think it was called Inside Out Wonders. I'm not sure. Finally, it's still we decided. TBD. But Andra, how about you go first, please?
Okay. I will start with a music album because I was, ever since you mentioned that I should start thinking about recommendations, this one was on my mind. It's a 2017, I think, album. It's called Carry Fire from Robert Plant. I only discovered it last year, and I don't usually like entire albums. I find 2-3 songs that I really like, but for this one, this is one of the few that I really enjoy the album in its entirety, and I think it's really good. I'm curious if you guys are going to listen to it, if you like it, but for me, it's one of my favorite.
Never heard of it. No, not the album, not the person, nothing. Never heard of it.
I'm sure.
So now I have to. Yeah. So now, maybe I've heard like a song, not knowing who they are.
Yeah, Robert Plant. I'm sure you know not him by name, but I will let you discover him and then realize who he is, and then you'll be like, "Oh, okay, so this is a solo project of his."
Okay. I shall search. Thank you for that recommendation. My recommendation this time around is a video game that I have played with my husband. We really love playing co-op games. The name of the game, it's called It Takes Two. And when I was Googling about the game, I've found out that it actually won some awards for gaming, one of them being the best, I think, the game of the year kind of a thing. So I didn't know that it's that big. I didn't even know that there are proper awards, I'm not going to lie. But the point is that it's a co-op and a puzzle. The story is mother and father of a girl. They are about to get divorced. So they have the conversation with the kid that they're going to get a divorce. And she goes crying into her room, and she has two tiny dolls that she's crying over them. And the parents become the dolls. And now you are playing as the two characters that need to go back into being humans. Right?
Okay.
So you have, and it's so interesting. Now, people are saying that if you really want to learn some lesson about divorce and stuff like that, it's not going to help much. And I'm like, okay, but like, you know what? They are very bickering in the beginning. And it's the kind of game that us do things, they comment at each other. And in each level, basically, so you are in the house and you're trying to get to the room of your daughter to make you back, basically, right? And so you are being thrown in the garden, and then you have to fight like the squirrels that are very evil, and then, you know, they are finding like the vacuum cleaner that it was hidden in the garage, and the vacuum cleaner is now evil because why did you replace me with the Roomba, kind of a thing, you know. It's like, it's right. So entertaining, and the visual, it's so amazing. It's just, if anyone loves co-op games, so good. So I recommend that. Okay.
That's interesting. You're playing a game that starts with a divorce with your husband, but that's I assume it's actually an interesting experience.
So what is your second recommendation?
My second recommendation is a TV show. It's a series, and I think it's a good time to recommend it now. It's called Severance. And the first season was made in 2022, and the second season is about to come out this year at some point. So it's a good time to catch up. In very short, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it's about a few people who get hired by this very weird company, and apparently because of, you know, confidentiality and privacy reasons, every time they get into the building of their office, something is done to them to kind of like sever their home personality from their work personality, so they cannot go home knowing what they do at work, right? And it's so interesting because it like approaches this whole like who we are at work and who we are as people, and like this dehumanizing you know, corporate life, that we exist while we're at work, we just exist for work, and you know, like the fact that they don't actually remember who they are outside of it, they have a completely different personality. It's super interesting. It's actually quite dark, but the first season was really good. I liked it a lot, and the second season is coming up, and I'm really excited for it. Let's hear your second.
Sounds interesting. Yeah, sounds like something else. Okay. So my second recommendation is Matthew Perry's book.
Right.
Which I've honestly think you need to have been living under a rock to not know that he died unexpectedly in October last year, I think. What I do want to say about this book is that, first and foremost, I was listening to the audiobook, and he was the one recording the audiobook. So imagine me being at the gym, because that's usually where I listen to my audiobooks when I go to the gym, or if I'm in the subway, because it takes 1 hour to go anywhere from here. Anyway, imagine me being at the gym, and these are the first words how the book starts. And it's also on the back of the book because it was so out there. So the book starts like this. And again, imagine listening to his voice, which is very...
Right.
If you ever watched Friends, you know his voice.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Matthew. Although you may know me by a name, my friends call me Matthew, and I should be dead. And I listened to this book after he passed away. So I got like cheers, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot.
Oh my God.
It is a very difficult to go through, especially for people who had any relations with addiction, being themselves or someone that they know. It's really difficult to go through that book. And it kind of makes you think about the chances that you get in life, because at the end of the book, he was so optimistic. That he finally, like, he was so optimistic, and he was like, this is why I'm telling my story, so then others know, so then maybe I can save others. He didn't say necessarily in these words, but that was the idea, right? I can save others, and I finally, I'm on the right track. And then I think he passed away, like, no later than 1 year after the book was out. So in a way, you would say that, I don't know, I felt in a way that the whole, maybe his sobriety was meant for him to make that book. And that was him accomplishing his like last role, basically.
Right.
To try to make it. I felt like that.
Oh, that's terrible. I hadn't read his book. I knew of it, but I hadn't read it. But yeah, like to have it start like this, it's really chilling.
Yes, it is. It's like so in your face, which the book, it can be quite a few times in your face, you know. So I'm like, oof. So yeah, I went through it, but because of that book, I started asking myself, and I asked you, and I asked a few friends, when was the first time that you have been exposed to alcohol? When was the first time when you had an, like, actually, if you remember, like, the first time having alcohol in your system, like, in any form, shape, or form, even if it was by mistake, like, you thought that it's water and it was actually a very hard liquor, like, whatever. And right. Then I'm curious to talk about when you started drinking as an adult, what kind of drinks you had and so on. Then I kind of want, because from there I was like, let's talk about drugs, if we had any, and in what size, cigarettes. And then I was like, we can't even talk about, let's talk about coffee, about black tea, or like things like right. that. So let's start with, I think, the hardest, because, I mean, he was on a lot of drugs as well. It wasn't just alcohol. I mean, mainly the drugs were the problem. So let's start with alcohol, Andra. Do you remember the first ever when you had alcohol in your system?
I don't exactly remember how old I was. I know that I was at some like family reunion with my parents and grandparents and all. And I was young. I mean, I don't want this to sound terrible, because it's not like my parents were bad parents and allowed me to have alcohol when I was five. But I remember my dad and my grandfather, they used to like cheer with the hard spirits that we have in Romania, that's like schnapps or vodka or polinka or whatever. And I was super curious, right? I was like five, and I was like, what are you drinking there? I want, and they allowed me to smell it, and I was like, oh, this smells terrible. And I think my dad was like, well, do you want to taste it? But tasting it didn't mean like I actually had a drink. He allowed me to soak my pinky in his glass, and I put it in my mouth, and I was like, oh, this is horrible, why would you drink that? But I do appreciate that they were never like, oh my God, you should not be even near alcohol. He allowed me to smell it, and he allowed me to decide for myself that, oh, this is a terrible thing. So it wasn't like I drank alcohol. I really just like soaked my pinky, and then I tasted it. I was like, oh, this is meh. And then when I actually started, you know, drinking alcohol.
Wait. Before that, let me tell you my side of when I was drinking. Okay, you don't want to put your parents down. I'm gonna put my parents down like with no shame. I think I was under 7 years old. I don't have the proper memory. What I do know is that in the summer when we would go to the seaside, was back when I was living in the southeast part of the country. So it should have been before 8 years old, because that's when we moved. I know for a fact that we were drinking cola with a bit of rum in it.
Right.
Like that was a drink that they were having. And I know for a fact that they put a little bit of rum in cola. Now, granted that I don't believe that cola is to be given to children under 7.
That's also, yes. I don't know what's worth the alcohol.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I have another memory that was maybe I was 10 or something like that. Again, talking about the hard liquor that we have in Romania, we usually, like, people, they make it themselves with fruits and stuff like that. So we had, I think my dad bought from someone, like it was like homemade. So right. He had it in a big, big canister, or like a huge thing. And he would have like a small pipe that you would put in a smaller bottle. So he can have some drinks in the time, right? Well, he asked me to go and fetch him some, right?
Fill up the little bottle. Right,
so
yeah.
What you do, you suck on the pipe. You suck on the pipe.
And then you put it in.
And until it comes down, and then you put it in the bottle.
I know where this is going, yeah.
Except, I suck too hard. And I got a sip, and it was so strong that it knocked me over. Like, I was, because I was kind of like down, you know. And I got a sip, and it knocked me completely over.
Literally. Oh my God. I thought
literally, I was on my back.
How old were you when this happened?
Maybe around 10.
Okay. Wow. He was.
And then, yeah. an, another one that I was also young. We had a cake. We were out in a city with my cousin, and we had a cake. And the cake had, I don't know, like a sour cherry that was in alcohol.
Right, right,
you know,
yeah.
Like on top of the cake.
Right, yeah. And yeah, they were preserved in alcohol, and then you use them for decoration.
And so I kept complaining that I was cold. It was winter. And I said, I keep saying that I'm cold. And my father was like, if you want to warm up, you need to eat this sour cherry. Which I did. I had the memory of the feeling. I don't have the memory that much of the whole thing. I have the memory of the feeling, how the heat came from inside. It went all the way out my ears. So my dad was saying that he could see how I was like turning red more.
So I guess in his defense, it actually worked because it did warm you up, huh?
Oh, it warmed the hell out of me. Okay, so those were, again, like the first one was before being eight, the other one's around 10 years old. Okay, so now tell me about starting to actually drink as a, I mean, adult or teenager. I don't know. I'm not saying like whatever it is.
I think it was around high school at some point. I think it was before 18, but you know, back in the day, technically we, you know, they weren't allowed to sell us alcohol in bars and all, but we would have a beer from time to time, and they would, like, the bartenders would be like, yeah, whatever. I don't know how it is these days because obviously I don't look like I'm under 18 anymore. So I don't know if they actually ask for your ID. But yeah, back in the day, they didn't really too much. I think what I did drink was I had beer because it was like the lightest thing. But it was like close to, you know, it was after I was 16, I think. I do remember one time, it was like the last few days of school, I think it was at the end of 10th grade or so, and with my friends, like we were a bunch of girls, like with, you know, the girl gang, and we went to the park in the evening, and one of us, I can't remember who, but she bought one of those bottles of like sour cherry liquor, because you reminded me of the sour cherry. You know how we had bitter back in the day? Yes, that bitter, but like the bitter Senator, which was like terrible. It still exists on the market. Or Florio, actually. It was Florio, I remember. And it was like this sweet, terrible thing. But it did have alcohol, and we were like four girls, and we went in the park by the side of the river, and we would like take a sip, and we felt so cool. Like, I think that was like the first time when I had, you know, hard liquor spirits like that in my teenage life. I mean, of course, over time, I would have a bit of like champagne for New Year's or for celebrations with my parents or whatever. But that, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I started like drinking socially, I guess. But I was never a heavy drinker.
Okay, let me ask you. So you're telling me when you started to drink alcohol, you didn't fuck up? Like, you drank too much and you threw up? Or like none of that? You were just to have nothing like that? Well,
I was
very bad about my stories. What I'm about to say.
Yeah, if you want this, I can say it in this episode. If not one time, maybe we can do an episode about like really bad drinking episodes. I think I got sick, like I threw up because of drinking like three times in my life, and that was
what?
Yeah, but like what? they were bad. I felt terrible.
Only
but,
three times?
Yeah.
Oh my god, you I that means that you can hold your alcohol, my friend. That's what
probably
I'm understanding
also, that's probably also true. I mean, I did get drunk a few times, like drunk, like I, you know, the room was spinning with me, but to actually get like sick, physically sick, and throw up, it was, yeah, two or three times, I think, at most. two of them I remember completely, but the third time I think it all, yeah, like I was also kind of sick. But yeah, that's my experience with alcohol. Lately, I don't actually drink too much. I drink rarely, but yeah, in high school, that was the answer. I, at some point in high school, I think, yeah, about around 10th grade or so.
That's kind of when I started as well. For whoever doesn't know, 18 is the age when you're allowed to start drinking in Romania. And because you mentioned the checking of the ID and that part, I have to say, so now number one is that around our generation is when the ID, the design of the ID changed. My brother's generation had like a tiny notebook.
Oh, he did? He still had that? Oh, yeah,
you're right. Yeah. We were one of the first, though, who started having just a card.
An actual card,
in the card, not written when, like, your date of birth. You should know the date of birth from the social security number.
That is true. Yeah, that is one of the weird things about our ID card.
Because of that. So what's crazy to me is that I started drinking when I was around 16-ish, more or less. I think, yeah, 16-ish, kind of, more or less. And I started with beer, which I didn't like. And but everybody drinks beer. Also, it was the cheapest thing that you can buy. Again, I didn't have money. So... the funny bit is that nobody asked for my ID until I was 18. And they've been asking like crazy. When I was 18 and 19, they asked like crazy. And I was like, and there's like, but there's no date of birth in your ID. And I'm like, how is that my fault, man? Right, you should know security number. You should know how to read a security number. Then why are you fucking checking the IDs? Like, I was like so pissed. And, you know, when I was 18, I was just starting to be... like, fuck you, fuck that, you know. I was like,
I'm my own person now,
I was like, fuck authorities, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. I was just like that. I remember that I was in a bar, and they were coming to check and all of that, and they were like, yeah. And they were, like, one dude checked, then he asked his colleague to come and check, and I was like, so? I was like, oh my god, I don't like myself when I think about it, but like, that's who I was at the time.
I did have though.
So during the summer in high school, I would go and we would spend a month or so at my grandparents' house, which was farther from where my parents live or where we were living. And so they didn't have, like, my parents didn't know anything that what we were doing in the summer. So the way that I would do this, I think it has a name. What is it? I don't know if the same name is in Romanian compared with in the United States, but there's like a beer, like you have a glass of beer and then you put a shot of vodka in. But the shot of vodka is like you're not drinking the vodka. You're drinking the actual,
the
actual, glass. Yes, shot glass in the beer.
And what is it called? I forget.
That was with the cheapest vodka. I remember even now. It's called V3.
Right.
It was one of the cheapest vodkas ever. But that would get me drunk. That fact.
What is that called? It's like a vodka bomb or what is it? I cannot remember.
In Romania, we were like back there, we were calling it diesel. We were just calling it diesel, which I have no idea. Is it from a gas station? That I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
Or diesel, is it cheaper? I don't know. Actually, I truly have no idea.
Right.
But I wanted to say that between 10th grade and like the 10th grade and then graduating high school, those 3 years, I was like, I drank the most. I was drinking, as I was saying, this beer. I was drinking some vodka. I was drinking, like, I went crazy. And then for some reason, something switched in my brain. And then I was like so proud. I was like, I can drink like 4 beers, still have it together. Like, that was an accomplishment for me.
Right,
but
right.
Now, if I drink like 1.5 beers and I'm already, you know, I'm a bit joyful, more joyful than usual. So then something switched and then I slowed down. I think that's later on I started drinking wine, which was obviously I would drink the cheapest wine because who can afford not cheap wine? Not right. Student, you know yeah. what I mean? Or not like soon after being a student. Let's not talk again about the salary that we got in that production job that we
had. Oh, God, yes, yeah. We barely survived from 1 month to the next.
But we do have a drinking memory together. I mean, maybe more than one, but one in which I kind of blacked out a little or I went to sleep. It's when we went to that...
The team building thing?
Dude, the point is that I blacked out because you told me things that I don't remember. So I'm going to put this on the blackout part. Yes, when we went with the colleagues somewhere, where were we actually? Do you remember where was the location?
I cannot remember. It was in the mountains somewhere. It was like a cabin in the winter and there was snow, but I don't remember where it was. I don't even remember how we got there.
There were cars.
Yeah, like somebody took us with the car. I don't know.
I don't know. But I do have to say that I don't know what were we drinking? Do you even remember that? I don't know what were we drinking. I don't know what was happening. But the point is that the next day, I woke up and you were like, do you remember this? And I'm like, what? No. Me? No.
The one thing I do remember from that time is that we laughed so much. I didn't really like most of the people that we were working with, full disclosure. Oh my God. And nobody liked me there. Like, I guess that's why we're such good friends.
Nobody liked us.
Yeah, nobody liked us. Yeah, we were like the two of us and maybe a couple of other girls and Antonio. Hi, Antonio, if you're listening to this.
I didn't like Antonio back then. Don't get me wrong. I didn't like him back then. I'm gonna be honest, I like him now. I don't like
right,
him
we like him now.
Obviously, I like him now, but like not then.
Mm-mm. Yeah, like back in the day, that environment was very sexist and misogynistic and whatever. But like, I do remember that with you and with a couple of the girls, we were laughing so much. I cannot remember what about. We didn't even discuss with the others that much, but we were just having a lot of fun. It was probably because we had been drinking. I don't remember what.
And so another drink that I was drinking, and I think I was doing that maybe in high school as well for like winter in December. I said that I think I said on the podcast before that I had this tradition on December 1st, which is the national day in Romania. I have hot wine or mulled wine or whatever it's called. Usually, I would have that because there would be like winter fair, Christmas fair or something like that. So they would put that, you know. And so I kept the tradition, but I didn't know that it's actually a German thing. Until I was in Tunisia and Ben, my friend from Germany, was like, what are you talking about, hot wine? And he's like, no, I make hot wine. I don't know what you're making over there. But like, no, that's my thing. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, what? I didn't know.
So, yeah.
And then eventually I got into tequila, and which is still to the day is the reason why I want to go to Jalisco in Mexico to see how it's actually made. It's on my list. I want to go in that state and in the city to see how it's made. Anything else to add regarding alcohol, or we can switch to another subject, to another thing?
Because, yeah, I feel like there is much to talk about, and we can talk about like worst times we had during drinking. I think that's for another episode.
Okay, sounds great. So now, first and foremost, do you drink coffee on a regular basis, more or less?
I do not. I started actually. Coffee, I started drinking later than I started drinking alcohol. And I don't drink it very often, no, because I had variable blood pressure. There are times when I have coffee and it gets me very, very agitated. And like, you know, my blood pressure increases a lot and I feel bad, actually. It doesn't wake me up. It just makes me feel very, very jittery inside. And my hands actually start shaking a little. So it's too much caffeine and I don't really drink coffee. I drink when I feel like my blood pressure is low, like on a very rainy day and I have a slight headache. I know a coffee will help. So then I'll go and have a coffee. I do like the taste of coffee, but only with milk. And when I do go out with friends in coffee shops, I have decaf if possible. Or, you know, a latte that's like not so strong, or a matcha latte. But yeah, I'm not really a coffee drinker. Maybe I'll have a coffee once a month if I do.
Me neither. I don't drink coffee. I have drank coffee a few times in my life, and I also feel very agitated. It doesn't go well into my system. So I do love the smell of coffee. I don't like the taste of coffee. So I'm not doing that. So no.
Yeah,
I did have a job as a night shift though. And that's the way that I was survive was with black tea. I had more than once a night shift actually. So that being said, I am curious if you drink black tea. And when did you start drinking black tea? And I'm asking that because I was talking with my husband. And then I was also talking with a friend from UK. And I'm like, when did you start drinking black tea? Because that's not caffeine free. And I'm just so curious. So do you drink black tea? And if you do, when did you start?
More rarely. I started drinking black tea, I think when I was in the UK in 2011, when I did my master's there. And of course, you know, black tea is the thing there. And I actually enjoyed the taste with milk and everything. It was good. And with scones and little pastries. But it was, to be honest, I prefer green tea because it has, I think for the most part, it has less caffeine. And also, black tea makes my stomach hurt from time to time. So I prefer green tea because it's not so strong. It's a bit more subtle. For me, black tea, I drink it, but only with milk also. I can drink it as it is, just like with coffee. Coffee, I don't drink without milk at all. It can be plant milk or whatever, but yeah, not without it.
So I don't remember when I got into black tea, but I am drinking black tea quite, it was in high school. So maybe as a student, that was my thing, to make black tea, even though in general we have, like the tea we usually drink in Romania is like plant-based from all sort of plants and flowers and things like that, is not necessarily that strong. So I don't remember when I started. However, do you know what chicory root is?
Chicory? Yes. Yeah.
Have you had that as a younger, maybe?
I had. So recently I actually found the tea that's chicory root and vanilla, I think, and it was really good. I liked it. But I used to also have like that chicory that's like the coffee replacement, right? It's like that with milk. I really like that one. I like it a lot.
So we used to get that as kids. My grandma, from time to time, my grandma used to make, again, in the summer when we would go to be with grandma, with my grandparents. It was like on Sundays, like a special Sunday or something like that, that we would have that. But I didn't like the taste. My brother was like, I was like, I didn't like the taste of it. So maybe I should try it again now to see if I like it.
I always liked it. But now, sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to say, in the fancy coffee shops, now they have that as well. So they have coffee, you know, like specialty coffee. They have matcha latte. They have like all sorts of, and then they also have this like chicory milk. And it's actually quite cool too. You know, it's like the nostalgic thing, but it's quite expensive. It's like the same price as like the specialty coffee. But yeah, sometimes I have that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, even though back in the day it was only a replacement for decaf coffee, basically.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was necessarily meant for kids, but I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, so I want now to go to cigarettes, any kind of cigarettes, and also what your parents smoke I don't know.
No, my parents don't smoke. I think like back in the day when it was like, you know, we would go somewhere, I think my dad would like socially have a cigarette here and there. That's all. But like, I don't think he's never bought like a pack of cigarettes for himself to smoke at home. No, but that was like years ago. So my parents were never smokers. I never smoked either. I think in my entire life, I smoked probably 5 entire cigarettes in my entire life. And that was one I shared with my best friend. We were having like this, I don't even know. I think we were drinking and then we were like, yeah, let's fool around. Let's like smoke a cigarette. Like, of course we were like mostly coughing because we didn't know how to smoke. And then the one time I actually smoked one full cigarette on my own was back in Korea. I was discussing with a friend and he had like, he was going through stuff and he was like, yeah, do you want to just like sit and talk? Cause I'm feeling really bad. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And he started smoking. We were in a place that allowed smoking, and he was a smoker. And I was like, you know what? Give me one as well. And he was like, oh, are you sure? I shouldn't do this because you're not a smoker. And I was like, yeah, no, give this to me. And it was this like really shitty bar with like terrible furniture and this blue light, and like everything was really old in there. And like it was a bar for, I'm going off a tangent, but it was very interesting because it was one of these bars for men. Mostly older men used to go there, and the servers were women, like really young women dressed with like, you know, shorts and everything. And he was sitting at the bar there with another friend, but I called and he was like, yeah, just come here. I was like the only woman in that bar. It's not like women are not allowed to, but they just don't generally go there because it's not proper. But obviously we were foreigners, so nobody cared. And the young girl at the bar, she was so friendly with me. She was like, she gave me like a shot for free to try whatever. And then she would constantly smile. I think she felt like, oh my God, finally a girl. And at some point I needed to tie my hair. And she was like, oh, I'll give you my hair tie. And, you know, I had been drinking a bit. And there was this like jazzy Korean American music and like this old furniture and a lot of like sleazy men there. And I was just talking to this friend of mine. And I was like, yeah, just give me a cigarette. It feels like this vibe here just calls for a cigarette. But that was really like, I felt like I'm in one of those like 60s, 70s movies. Just because of the atmosphere. And then that's the only time I smoked an entire cigarette on my own. And it was, yeah, I didn't even want anything afterwards.
Do you know that I have a story why I didn't start smoking? Have I ever told you this? Something with my brother?
But tell me again, because like it doesn't come to mind now. It's like somehow it sounds familiar that I know you have a story, but I don't remember the reason.
What it was. Okay, so... my father was a smoker and he was smoking Carpaz, which for who doesn't know, that's a very strong, also Romanian, like, and he also smoked a pipe. Like he also had a pipe.
Interesting.
But he maybe around 10, 11, when he quit. So he smoked like 20 years, I think, and he quit and he never smoked. Like he managed to quit, like he never smoked. Meanwhile, my brother, so again, we are 5 years apart. We are 5 years apart. And my brother went to high school in a complete, like in the city where we used to go to be with the grandparents. So he started smoking when he was in the 10th grade. And we didn't find out until later, I don't know, like 2 years later or something. Oh, wow. Like that. And when, or I don't remember exactly, but when I found out I had like a tiny breakdown, because I was like, no, you're my life role model. Like, no, why would you do that? Like,
a hero.
Yeah. And it was by that time, our father wasn't smoking anymore.
Okay.
He said, you're going to see, you're going to get to high school and things are going to happen and you're going to start smoking. And I was like, no, I won't. And he was like, you're going to see. And I'm like, do you want to bet? And he's like, okay. So we bet. We made the bet that on the most amount, the banknote that we have in Romania. It's like whatever it is at that time, because I was like, it's going to be in like a few years.
Later,
until, because it was supposed to be until I graduate high school.
Right.
I wasn't even in high school at the time.
Right.
So it was like a long situation. And he stopped. Like in total, he only smoked 5 years. He eventually gave up. So he only smoked 5 years. It's been so long since then. I think his lungs should be recovered by now. I have not smoked at all, because number one, the main reason why I didn't want to smoke was that I can't afford financially have this kind of, I'm not even kidding, I know it's so stupid because I was so young, but in my head it was like, I can't afford, it costs so much every month, oh my god. Like, no, I can't afford having my life. It wasn't even a healthy issue. I'm being very honest. And so I didn't smoke at all. And then, so, you know, when you graduate in Romania, you graduate in June, like mid-June. Yeah. 1st of July that year, they introduced a higher banknote, like a bigger banknote. It was from, I think it was 1 million back then to 5 million. Right?
Oh.
So I was like, are you kidding me?
But like, however, your brother give you like the note on the day you graduated?
No. What he did, because I was like, don't pay to me because it's like 5 times more. I'm like, come on, man. So what he did instead, he paid for a concert for me to go and see one of my Anathema concerts, which unfortunately the band doesn't exist anymore, but it used to be like them several times in concerts. But that was my first time. So he paid, and it was more than 1 million. It was a little bit more than that. So
He
paid
nice.
For my concert, and that's, so I keep saying that the reason why I managed to see them back then was because he didn't. So, yes, I've never smoked. But I'm curious to know, because I haven't done this either, what about water pipes, which are called shisha, I think, in Turkish? And
oh, yeah, like the narkila or shisha. Okay.
What about them?
I did do that a couple of times. I think when I did that the first time, I was in Cluj at university. I was a student, and I
know where the place was.
Yes, you already know.
Not so many.
Yeah, because it was nice and it had cushions, and you know, like you could. It was one of the few places where you could sit on the cushion. It was kind of like exotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool, and I went there, I think, with a classmate of mine. And then I did that a couple of times. One of my best friends he's from Cyprus, and he likes that. When he came to Romania, he was like, "Oh, do you have like a shisha place in Romania? Can we go?" So yeah, like, we went with him. I feel like that's more like, yeah, like a social thing, in the sense that you do it with other people to sit down and talk, and it's like one of those things. But I haven't smoked shisha in a very long time, also in like years now. When it first beard in Romania, it was like a thing, like a fancy thing to do. But I remember that many times it wasn't done proper. Many times I didn't really smoke too many times, but several times when I smoked it, it wasn't done properly. And so there was this like burning feeling on my throat, inside of my throat. And I didn't like that too much. It's not supposed to burn. I hear, I don't know.
I have never, but I was in Turkey, and at the time I brought like half a kilo of the substance,
like from Turkey, the flavors and everything.
They wanted Coca-Cola flavor.
Oh,
and
my
I
God.
Brought them Coca-Cola flavor. That was amazing. You know what? I mean, the fact that I had none and I was not consuming at all, and I would carry it in my luggage, it was insane. So wow, any types of drugs. And before you say it, I'm just gonna say that I've never smoked anything. I've never tried any kind of drugs. And I think this time it was because I've mentioned this before, the issues with lack of control that I have, which I don't have with alcohol. Probably this is a society dictating me, you know, like that's good, that's bad. So I'm not saying, but this time around, I was like, I do not want to try because I don't know how I'm going to react. I don't want to be addicted to something like that. Mm-hmm. And so this time around, I've never tried. I have stayed in a room that people were smoking pot. So probably that smoke kind of hit me too. But other than that, I have never tried any of that. And I also don't want to, because I'm just so scared of what things are going to come my way. And also, like, for example, when I traveled in Peru, a lot of people were like, oh, I'm going to try ayahuasca. And I'm like, no, that's not the kind of things that I want to do. I'm not putting down anyone who does want that. By all means, go for it. It sounds a very interesting experience. I'm not against it. I just that I'm so scared that I cannot touch it, or I wouldn't do any of that. So, right. What about you?
I tried. I mean, I think I took one or two smokes from a joint two times, and both times it just felt like, because I'm not a smoker, so like people keep telling me like, oh, you have to like breathe in, inhale the smoke, but like I just cough, so for me it didn't feel like anything. It just felt like, oh, it's just like burning my throat
you
again.
Are
so,
wasting the thing,
and I'm like, oh, you're just wasting the pot, like, okay. And I'm like, I don't know how to do it, but and so I, you know, I didn't care too much for it. I guess the second time I tried it, I inhaled, like I breathed in a bit more deeply, and I felt a bit ever so slightly dizzy, but I don't know if it's because of the actual like weed, or it's just because, you know, it was the smoke and I inhaled it completely. Because I imagine also when you smoke and you breathe in the actual, you know, like the smoke that you put in your body, it's because of that, it's because of the lack of oxygen. So I don't know what was the point, but yeah, for me, I don't see that. I don't care for it.
But what do you think you are interested in trying?
If I'm interested in
more
trying
of the variety of the
no. I'm not actually. I heard many people told me about, yeah, like mushrooms and like psychedelics and ayahuasca ceremonies as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, that's an entirely different conversation. I feel like for spiritual reasons, if you try that, it's just it's not the right way to have spiritual experiences, because those are somehow like artificially induced, and they're not. If you want to like get to a specific point of like higher consciousness, you have to get there on your own. Otherwise, it's not sustainable. Otherwise, it's just hallucination, I feel.
Hence my point. It happened a few times in my travels when I was hiking so often and so on. I felt a sort of a connection to nature that I can't put it in words. And I was like, I'm not on anything. I'm on life-based. Yeah. So I was like, I don't think that I need. Like, I feel it happened a few times that where I would feel, I would get into a place and I would feel that I belong, or like I've been there before, or like things like that. And I'm like, I'm not anything, man. And I still have these things in me. I'm like, I don't need to enhance that.
Yeah, it's so valuable, right? Because it comes from within. It doesn't come like, it's not an external thing that's just like imprinting this experience on you. It's something from the inside, which is more valuable and more authentic, if you ask me. So,
Okay, so now I just want to go mention two more things that are food related, because again, talking with my husband, he was mentioning about, okay, first and foremost, back in Romania, we do not have a cafeteria. We do not have, I don't know what's happening now, but like, we don't have the regular how they have in the United States, and we know from all of the movies, the cafeteria where you go and you buy. Yeah. Or like even earlier than that. So my husband was talking about how he got, for like a long period of his school years, he would have pizza every day, like going and getting that. And then I realized, I don't think I had pizza. It's not homemade. And my mom usually will make it with slices of white bread.
Okay.
Like, pâine turcească, baguette, you know, like something like that. So that was not fully a pizza. And then I learned how to make pizza on the stove, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to remember, when did I have my actual first pizza ordered from a pizza place?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know. Like in high school, for sure. Mm-hmm. But like, again, 16, 18, which I think might be crazy for someone in the United States. What? Yeah. You didn't have pizza? Like, order,
right. You know? They have a slice of pizza when they're born. It's like the first thing is like, here's a pizza and like a Coke in their other hand. It's like, you can grow up now.
Sorry,
guys. It's just a joke. But yeah, I feel like Americans do love their pizza and Coke a lot. It's just fair.
So what about you? Do you remember?
I do remember. So back in, I was in middle school, actually. And I think when I was like sixth grade, a pizza place opened in my town. And it was actually, if I remember correctly, the family of one of my classmates. They were like, you know, kind of like well off. And they opened this like pizza parlor. And, you know, everybody heard about it and was like, oh, we should go. And I went with my parents and I loved it so much. Oh, my God. I think I got a closed calzone pizza. So it was more like,
calzone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it was the closed one. And it had, you know, like back in the day, it was like the shittiest salami that you could find on the market. Not bodies necessarily, but like salamigata, which is, but it was,
yeah.
Yeah, like the actual, you know, like the standard, like nothing fancy. It really was nothing fancy. I'm sure if Italians had been there, they would have like died on the spot to see that. But yeah, like I remember like when they cut it open for me, because like they sliced it in half when they brought it. And like from the inside, it was like the melted cheese, and it smelled amazing. And I put ketchup on it. I remember it was so good. It just tasted very good, and I couldn't eat all of it. I think my dad helped me with it, but I ate a lot. I was like super full. And then I kept asking my parents, like, "Can we go again? Can we go again?" But of course, we did, but not as often as I would have liked. I think it was like, yeah, I was like 12 or 13.
I just remember something. As a 5-year-old, Alina, I was watching the Ninja Turtles, and they were eating that freaking pizza. It's looking so delicious. And I've always wanted to have that pizza. Little did the 5-year-old Alina knew that she's going to live in the city where the Ninja Turtles are, right?
Oh my God, right. Yes.
So kind of like to come together. And so the last one that I want to ask is, again, not if it was homemade or like an improvisation at home, from a place which most likely would have been a fast food. When was the first time that you had a burger?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Can I tell you mine then while you think about it?
Do it, yeah.
When I was in Iceland, I was either 29 years old or 30.
Really?
That was my first time having a burger. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I don't fully know if I had any burgers in Romania, to be honest with you.
At all in your entire life? Oh, my God, Alina. This is something that we have to change when you come home. We have really good burger places now, but, you know, now I don't eat meat anymore, so it doesn't. It's not so.
It can be a veggie burger. They are really good.
Some of them are really good. Some of them are. They're done properly. Yes. For me, I think it was when I McDonald's opened in my hometown at some point towards the end of middle school. So I think like everybody, you know, like my parents and I, we went to just get something, and I think they got me a Happy Meal, and I got, you know, like French fries and a little burger and a toy. It was like some sort of a puppy that would bark and light up his eyes in the shape of hearts. And I think that's the first time I had a burger. And of course, it just felt like, oh, this is new and interesting, because it was a big deal to have McDonald's in Bayamate. Oh, yeah. My God. But I never liked, actually, McDonald's burgers. I was never a huge fan
of McDonald's. I've stopped. I mean, I don't usually go to fast food to begin with, but McDonald's, I stopped going to McDonald's. I think it's 10 years now.
I very rarely go to fast food places anyway, because luckily, since I don't eat meat, they don't have too many things for me, and I'm not tempted to go. I do remember when I was in the States, there was this, but it wasn't a burger so much. It was like more like a sandwich, but it was really good. I think it was a Texas chain. It was called Whataburger. Whataburger, they would say, and I kept thinking that they're saying Water Burger, and I was like, what kind of a name is that? And they're like, when I got there, I realized it's actually What a Burger. But like, you know, when you say it fast, it's What a Burger. It's not Water Burger. So I think that was like one of the best places for me in the U.S., but of course, Texas. So they know their burgers.
Yeah. In Iceland, I didn't try like fast food like that, but I went. They have a few places that are like local places.
Mm-hmm.
That are really good with burgers and so on. And in general, when I was in Iceland, I tried my hardest to go to local places other than, they don't have many chain restaurants and chain, like they don't have a McDonald's. And it's famously known the last burger from McDonald's is still alive in a hut somewhere in Iceland. And you can see that it looks still okay. And I'm like, oh.
Right. Right, yes.
It's a real thing. But in general, I don't necessarily like burgers, like, very often. I don't necessarily, like, I would rather go for chicken tenders or, like, whatever else. I don't like sandwiches and I don't like burgers that much. So, but yeah, I had my first almost in my 30s. Now, it's probably, I didn't think this through because it's an unfortunate change of the subject, what I'm about to say.
Yes.
So there was a crime that happened close to where I live. And I'm going to say first how I got to know about it. We went to a movie to see Ferrari. I told you that we went to see the movie. And as we were coming back, I saw minivans that had a red and light red and blue light, and it was dark, it was night, so I was like, it was in a distance, so I was like, what is that? And my husband's like, what? And I'm like, that. And then we got closer, and there were like three of them, and I thought that it's like an ambulance, because it happens, people faint or whatever. But then I saw that it was NYPD, and I'm like, okay, three minivans from NYPD does not sound good at all.
That is true. And well, yeah.
Then I look across the street, I see two other minivans that were white, and they didn't have an inscription on them. And then I look better, and I see some like tripods, and I'm like, oh shoot, those are like the news that it's on my block.
Right.
So I was like pointing to my husband, and he's like, I don't know what I'm like. Those are journalists. Like, listen to me. Those are journalists. This is bad. This is really bad. And so I go in and I check. There is an app that is called Citizen app, in which you can go and see crimes that are happening around you, which is not good to have for someone who has anxiety. So I've had, like, I have no notifications. I just have it on in case there's something happening, to just go check if anything has been reported. So I see that is very close to where I am. It was so close to where I live that it was asking me to go live to help the neighborhood.
Oh my God.
I was like, nope, that's not, I'm not doing that. So the news was men's body parts found in refrigerator inside apartment.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm like,
fucking hell.
What? I was like, I was shocked. Husband was like, well, I don't actually really truly want to tell you about this neighborhood because I know how much you hate it. And I'm like, the reason why I hated this neighborhood was because it's, I have nothing, nowhere. I mean, you know, it's such a difficult subject to talk about because gentrification, but like there's no nice restaurants around. Like the food is amazing, don't get me wrong, but there's no nice sit down restaurant. It's really dirty. There's trash everywhere. It's like those were my reasons. Safety was like maybe down, you know, from the top reasons.
Jesus.
Now the thing is this, what I know for a fact is this. We had a police car sitting in the intersection, like basically at the end of the block, for like a year. And it left somewhere around end of summer. I don't think that, like, I don't remember exactly, but like somewhere, end of summer, they didn't show up anymore. But they were, it was there every single day. It was a police car for like a year. Okay, so now I go online and I'm like, oh my God, what is this? So I'm trying to figure out what happened. I can't find, like, I go on the news to see the news online, like that evening. I don't see anything, no information, whatever. The next day, my husband's aunt comes. So the news on that app was saying that a woman is in custody, but she hasn't been charged with anything.
Okay.
So my husband's aunt comes to be like, have you heard? And I'm like, yeah. So she's like, you know that woman? And I'm like,
really?
I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't know. No, I don't. And she's telling me there is a couple that everybody knows around the block, woman and men, that they are very loud and people know that they steal or they are not. So everybody, like when they come towards their shop, they are like, no, no, don't come here. Don't come here. And luckily, I don't know who she's talking about. So I'm not out that much. And usually I'm not staying around. I'm just like out. But she's saying like everybody knows this couple, like from because they are very loud. So and she's a bit more fair skin, which I live in a black neighborhood, so it's very easy to spot it in the, you know. And she's telling me that she knows, like she talks with that person. And like she talked with her in December. And she was saying that her husband is in jail. And
was the husband the one in the freezer? Okay.
No. So she's telling me that, yeah, he's in jail and whatever. I'm going to wait for him to come back home because whatever. So then I started doing some more research. But as it turns out, the person in the freezer is a drug dealer.
Oh my God, okay.
That they were collaborating with, basically.
Okay.
So, I'm going to read...
This sounds like NYPD shit. That's...
Wow. I was... This is CSI, or what's the TV show? This is... I didn't...
Blues, or Blue, whatever. I don't know yet what it's called, but yeah.
Then, because we were trying to defuse the situation, my husband was like, only murders in the building. There you go.
That,
there you go. And I'm like, no. I love that show. I don't want to leave that show. So I'm going to read from New York Post. Apparently, everybody in the building knew it. Because they did see the man coming in and never coming out.
Okay.
And people in the comments are saying, so the people who knew, that means that that was that person who was found chopped in the fridge was the dealer of the whole block. That's okay. How people know, because like he stopped, you know.
Right.
They said that this lady with her husband would occasionally allow the missing drug dealer to sleep in the apartment in the past, but in recent months would not let visitors near her fridge. So now they have neighbors who were like, yeah, I've been to her place, but she would be so weird about going in the kitchen. She wouldn't let me in the kitchen or anything.
Okay.
That's terrible.
Jesus.
So the title of the news says, Brooklyn tent charged after severed head body parts of alleged drug dealer found in apartment freezer. So the Brooklyn woman living in their apartment has been charged with concealment of a corpse as ruled the grisly case of homicide. She was arrested after undergoing a psychiatric evaluation, police said. She claimed that her husband killed the person in September during a dispute over drugs and chopped up and stored in plastic bags inside the freezer. She was living in this building for like about 6 years, and she's originally from Kentucky. And a caseworker would occasionally check in on the couple, but was not thorough. So that person has been in the fridge since September.
My God.
Has been discovered now. So the police found the horrible scene. When they responded to the apartment on a Monday call, that somebody did say that they think that there's a body that is stashed there. So then okay, they went so to check. Okay. So there was finally someone who actually said it. So cops found the refrigerator tapped shut and took her into custody when she tried to stop them to look inside. She was already wanted on outstanding petite larceny. I don't know what is that. The guy was arrested for something else, like a completely different. Yeah. I can't even begin to tell you how, like, in a way, I feel in a very weird way, I feel a bit safer knowing that it wasn't a random crime.
Right, yes, of course.
You know?
I mean, it must have been a business dispute, but still, yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible. Like, I can't believe that. Like, this is... And you know, a lot of people are like, how are you not scared to live in New York? And say, because I don't see these things. I'm not exposed to these things. And I'm staying so much indoors that I'm like, they need to come inside my house to find me. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just so shocking. And so I can't believe. And I'm like, I'm over here being like, there are podcasts that are just talking about these kind of things. I mean, hence Murder in the Building is poking fun of all of these murder scenarios and right. You know, things like that. But it's so insane that this is this happened. And again, that man was murdered in September.
Yeah, God.
It's just so crazy. But the shockiest part was like my husband's aunt be like, you know the people. And I'm like, no, I don't. Don't say that.
But you could have easily, yeah, you could have known them because, yeah, they were like a few blocks away.
This is the joke that I keep making about the fact when you take the subway in New York, you most likely have passed by a criminal.
That is a...
Like criminal as in a murderer, you know?
That is also very possible, God.
Like statistically speaking. It's like so possible, but now I'm like, well, I'm on the same street with murderers, so
Oh my There's God. That. Yeah. That sounds terrifying.
That's another reason why I want to move from this neighborhood.
Yeah, safety. Sure. I mean, yeah, trash and the, you know, it's not pleasant, but yeah, like this idea just, oh my God. Yeah. It's understandable.
And then, yeah, so the worst that I see, like, other than the fact that somebody has been murdered and then, like, all of that, but, like, on top of it, it's like, wait, so people kind of knew, and until, from September, October until January, nobody said anything. That's kind of where I'm like, oof, I don't know that I like this block I live on. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm okay with this, but yeah. So only murders in the building, Brooklyn side. That being said, if any of the listeners have or would like to share, I'm going back to the previous subject. If they would like to share anything about in their countries or in their culture or in their family, when did they start having any of the alcohol or whatever other things we talked about, I would love to hear if was it too late or too early for us compared to other people. Because yeah, well, I don't think I finished my idea. I was talking with my husband about black tea and also the British person, and they were drinking as kids black tea. So that's where I was like, ah, that's interesting. So yeah. I would love to hear from our listeners to share how and when did they start having any of that. Meanwhile, until next time, Andra, I'm going to listen to that album. Okay, well, thank you for podding with me, how I keep hearing people who do podcasts. That's the term.
I learned a word today, okay.
And looking forward to next time. When we'll see what we're going to talk about.
Always a surprise. It was a pleasure, as usual. I love it.
This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening and for reviewing Traveling Inside Out. If you want to get in touch with me, send an email to podcast@alinaigrad.com. And remember, your outer journey begins with inner work. Until next time, bye.